hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
Welcome to Pauly's Podcast.
You know, I've been thinking about this. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
All right, everybody, Pauly Mac Podcast time. Let me do a level check live on the Jawcast. Tony, as I try out my new mic and my new surroundings. Okay, he's giving me a thumbs up. It must be going well. I want everybody to know, before I bring in Tony and Shannon, this is the first Pauly Mac Podcast slash Jawcast community shout out. Hashtag I'm with Pauly Mac. That I'm in a new location. I'm at the radio station right now. Y'all feel me? Tony, welcome. Shannon Kaler, Stone Fox's creative department, KMBR, welcome. Guys, I'm in Tony's studio. It feels good to be back.
Oh, feels good. If the rhythm feels good, let me hear you say, baby. Pauly, welcome back to the studio. 15 months. I haven't been there in 15 months.
15 months, Jerry.
I'm sad. Very sad. I used to sleep in there sometimes. There's pillows hidden. There's blankets. There's sun-made raisins.
These are mine. I brought these from home, Tony.
The Rice and Ronnie poster is...
Shout out Ronnie. His birthday was over the weekend. Happy birthday to our good friend Ronnie Lott.
You know what? Why don't we... Can we start calling him just Ron? Ron Lott?
Why don't we start calling this a Lottcast?
No.
Nice. I think the only other Ron Popeil. He's probably the only other Ron I know.
Tony, help him out.
Well, I can't because he's gotten into a lot of trouble lately. So maybe we shouldn't even bring up.
Really? Oh,
no, geez. Not Ron Popeil. Ron Popeil, set it and forget it. I'm all about Ron Popeil.
Who got in trouble then?
There's another Ron that's an adult film star that's gotten into some trouble lately that we won't really talk about.
I
was going to go a little more innocent. I was just going to shout out probably the greatest audio consultant of all time, Ron Johnson.
No, nice.
And I'd say, Shannon, I'd say, who the hell's Ron Johnson?
I'd say a medium Coke and your phone number. A meatball sandwich, medium Coke, and your phone number? Is that what you
And want? Your phone number.
And your phone number.
Trivia real quick, Shannon. Sorry, I got to leave you on the side of the road. This one's for black belts only.
Okay.
Tony.
Okay.
But I'll be back in a second. Tony, when they are engaging in a romantic moment together, Ron Johnson and Stacy.
In the dugout.
In the dugout. Stacy looks up and sees some graffiti on the wall. Tony, what does your graffiti say?
Surf Nazis, Paul.
We're back to Shannon now. Tony, thank you. That's correct.
Okay.
Did you get a cookie? What'd you get? What'd you win for that?
He's won a lifetime support position on my lecturing tour about Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which I will launch. No, the day they fire me from KMBR, you can catch me over at Cal and Stanford. I'll go up and down the West Coast lecturing, and Tony will be like my TA. Like,
that's a great idea, Pauly. And you know that I will join you in the lecture series,
right?
That will take it on the road. And there's already like a class being taught at Oregon State on the band Phish. So I think somebody would Oregon State might be the university we start with the Beavers. And we teach Fast Times Ridgemont High education. One last question for you, Paul, before we bring Shannon into the mix.
Right.
What does Stacy compliment Ron Johnson on inside the dugout before they have their interlude?
Wow. Tony, bravo.
Come on.
Oh, and Tony's the TA, I see.
Come on.
Inside the dugout, she said, that's a really nice...
Tony, I'm actually guessing, and I want to compliment you. I want to compliment Tony on tying me in a Fast Times knot. It's not easy to do.
It's not easy to do.
And I'm guessing, and I'm most likely wrong, and I'm so happy that I'm still learning stuff about times so far down the road as from when it came out in 1982. Tony, is it his jacket?
Yes, it's his jacket. Yes, it's his jacket.
Oh, my God.
And he's wearing like a... Like
members only.
Yeah, exactly. So
like, put it in the syllabus,
and they, right, put it in the syllabus, right. And then they Shannon. Go. Then they go from the jacket into discussing what, Paul? Because she says, "I wonder how long it will last."
Oh, the warm weather.
The warm weather.
Yeah,
they're making small talk, Shannon, before they have a little nookie.
Well, you know, I'm getting the feeling that they were just new acquaintances.
And I apologize again, Shannon, but this is important for our listeners to know this stuff. Paul, What soundtrack hit plays in the background while they have their interlude in the dugout?
Again, glad you asked. And this is something I can handle pretty comfortably. And yes. It's Exhibit A. It's Jackson Browne.
Thank you.
Jackson Browne. She's going to be somebody's baby. Ooh. Great song.
Yeah.
Wrong, Tony?
No, you're right. I was about to start singing it.
Oh, okay. Well, just look at that girl with the sunlight. What a great song. Dude.
You know, I would pay quite a bit of money to go see him.
I've seen him. He's great.
Nice.
He did a sit-down show at the Davies Symphony Hall. He was fantastic.
I saw him at Hardly Strictly, and it was just him with a pedal steel player, and he was playing piano.
What?
It was so awesome. It was so great. Yeah.
I'm pissed. Now I'm mad at myself for not seeing either of those shows.
I got to tell you something, guys. Before we get to Buster Posey and your San Francisco Giants, before we get to Trey Lance and his style, negative points on style tips of what he wears for headwear.
Right, right.
And before we talk about anything else in the sporting world.
Warriors playoffs, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Shannon. Thank you.
thank you, Dubs.
thank you. Yeah.
Because of that intro, I actually forgot where I was going to go.
Oh, no.
It was a great intro, too.
It was awesome.
Because you brought it back to sports. Thank you.
What were we just talking about before, Shannon? You just said, I was going to say, we have to celebrate. Fish just announced tour dates. Dead and Company just announced tour dates. There's rumblings about Metallica. Like, the fall there's a resurgence coming in the fall. And in this late summer, if people just take care of themselves, get vaxxed, or as it says on the freaking bright green grass at Oracle Park, vax up.
Right.
We're at 45% vaxxed as a country. How about that? Let's keep it rolling. Vax up. Live music happening in the fall. I'm going to Giants Dodgers next weekend. I bring it on. I'm feeling the renaissance is coming.
Couple of quick reactions and questions, Tony. One, I share your joy. I'm thrilled. I saw the sets, the dates rather, the tour dates for the bands you mentioned last night.
Yes.
And it's all very exciting. And I have to think that these are just the first couple of dominoes to fall. I would think there's going to be a lot more bands with show dates coming up. Then it's going to become almost too much, too fast, too soon. I got this coming at me. I got dead shows. I got to take care of Springsteen. You know what I mean? Like, I got a lot going on.
You know, Bruce is coming, and you know, I'm sure.
I feel like, Tony, I'm in his zone defense, and I'm playing the Warriors like by myself. I'm trying to defend all five.
Dude, you know what and I mean?
Like,
Curry.
Well, you guys are playing to like Friday. By the way, we're recording this on Thursday, the 13th. Tomorrow, the 14th, you two guys are going to be in Fairfax playing, and I'm gonna come watch. I can't wait to watch you guys.
Thanks, Shannon. Shout out Iron Springs Brewery. Paul, go.
Well, I was gonna say thank you for that, Shannon. We'll see you there. Can't wait. I lost my train of thought too. I was talking about the trying to defend all the shows coming at me. But I will say this, Tony, I'm happy to see that Dead and Company is still booked for Jazz Fest.
Yes.
Because I'll be at Jazz Fest this year. It's the first time I've ever gone. Shannon, I believe you've played there with your band.
We played the Voodoo Fest, which is I think it's a little earlier, but yeah, same park, same kind of setup.
Same city, same great tradition.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Shannon, might your band, the Stone Foxes, be joining in the Renaissance in the fall?
Yes, we just booked our first Bay Area gig over in Alameda. We're doing an outside fest out there, concert series, put on by the Ivy Room, which is kind of the hot club to play over on that side of the bay. So we're really excited to go play that. That's September 24th, I believe. Tickets are available now.
Did you say Alameda? Because if you did, I want to shout out Peter Hartlob, Alameda's finest.
I want to shout out
Ray Ratto and Tom Tolbert, also a couple of Alameda's finest. They will all be there. They'll probably ride bikes together from their homes to your show.
Ray Ratto and Tom Tolbert on bicycles coming to the show.
No, hold on. You're missing something. Tolbert riding the bike, Ratto in a carriage behind the bike. Okay. And then, you know, the way the weather shifts here in the Bay Area with the microclimates, we're going to shift topics like the weather shifts here so quickly.
I love how Tony's directing traffic. This is beautiful.
Yeah, I'm enough's enough, Paul.
No.
Right? Just like the 80s band Enough Z-Nuff.
Yeah, with lead singer Chip Z-Nuff.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
The guy's name is Chip Z-Nuff.
By the way, Shannon.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
E-N-U-F-F-Z-N-U-F-F. That's the name of the band. Enough.
Oh my God.
Z-Nuff.
And Shannon, how about the singer's name? Again, who's your singer? Chip Z-Nuff.
Yes. That's our guy.
Yes. Oh, he's the best. I think it's actually brilliant. More bands should do that. By the way, for you mainstreamers out there, I'm sure the Biebs and Taylor Swift and those peeps are going to be launching tour dates too. I hope everybody just starts hitting the road, because there's a lot of promoters and, you know, all the people that work behind the scenes in the music industry that have struggled mightily.
Right.
Let's just get back out on the road and play, right? Playing in the band, playing in the sand. Let's roll. And let's talk about Gerald Dempsey Posey. Gerald Buster.
Tony is directing traffic, but it's sagging all over the highway. Okay. I mean, whatever.
He's got the wheel, dude. He's just like totally in the car. Totally. Dude, I love it though. No, Tony, I'm no better. Believe me, I know. I'm a terrible host. I always lose my way. Tony, you're doing a great job directing traffic. And what's your question about Gerald?
I want to ask Shannon if he's ready to pay off his bet that we made before the season.
Oh,
because
we made a bet that,
yes, we did,
that Posey would not hit. I said he wouldn't hit more than 15 home runs.
Yeah,
that was a bad call.
Yeah,
however,
I jumped all over it because it was a farcical move by you, Shannon. I mean,
well, if you looked at his track record, who would have seen this resurgence?
Well, I mean, we have hosts here and people at the station that love to celebrate an average of 10 home runs a year for another giant, or an average of 50 RBIs a year for another giant. So I just want to celebrate Buster Posey. And the fact that he is on a friggin' tear, and I forget who said it. Somebody had a great riff. I wish I could give props to whoever had this riff, but they said that everybody who plays catcher, they should develop it into their contract that they are allowed to take one season off just to give their body a rest. And Posey taking last season off, man, he's all fresh. He's got a little beef on his bones. You can tell he's had a few burgers. You can tell that, like, he's got just an extra oomph in his swing. I mean, he reminds me of, like, the first couple years as a Giant. And let's not forget, Buster was a shortstop in college until they moved him to catcher his senior year. So I love seeing a fresh Posey. He's one of my all-time favorite Giants. He's right there behind Will Clark for me. And, you know, I'm just very happy for the Giants in general. I'm also happy that farheads is becoming a term and a thing. It's catching on, Shannon.
I know.
Tom Tolbert asked Farhan yesterday, what do you think about the term farheads? And it all started right here on the Jockcast.
It did. Well, it's all Tony for the farheads. I mean, and you will take it that extra mile when you actually follow through and dress up as him for Halloween. You do that, Tony, it's going to go bananas.
You know how we know? Yes, it will. And you know how we know, like, the entire Giants organization listens to this podcast every week? You know, you guys know that? Like, so I have an idea.
I don't. What do you got? Where are you getting that information? Not that
well,
I doubt
I just,
it.
I just made it up because I like to pretend that everybody listens to this.
It sounds like makes us sound more important.
Yeah, totally. Sounds good.
So, yeah, right. For Lawrence Bear and below, I would like to remember the Lemonheads, the candy Lemonheads,
the right? band or the, yeah. the sugary treat.
Nice band reference, Paulie, but the sugary treat.
Do you remember the Lemonheads from the 90s?
Of course. But the Lemonheads candy, let's change the box to where it's, first of all, it's an orange and black box, not a yellow and blue box. And instead of Lemonheads, it has Farheads. And we have Farhead's face on as a Lemonhead instead of the actual candy.
That's not bad. I like that.
Right? I mean,
Paul?
I don't know. He's making, you guys, think about all the, Alex Wood, the guy. He brought in Alex Wood. Look at what Wood is doing. I mean, La Stella before he got hurt was the contributions. Casale's not hitting his weight, but man, is he is he doing a great job behind the dish defensively? I don't know. I'm just looking at all these guys he's brought in.
Do you guys think that the batting average thing is going to work out? Like, I mean, we're talking about all these guys that are coming on. You're right. Like, the staff has been incredible. But can they keep up this, just walk home run offense, you know, without getting base hits and stuff? No, yeah.
Good knowledge, Shannon. By the way, Shannon, as we record this Thursday, as of Thursday, the Giants are third in MLB in walks, and they're also third in MLB in home runs. So that is just, I mean, patient at the plate, but when they're swinging, they're launching bombs. I mean, it's really impressive what they're doing at the plate. And the answer to your question is no, because baseball is all about streaks and slumps. So right. Posey will cool off, and then he'll heat up. Like, Belt is hot right now. He'll cool off. Like, it's just – but hopefully when guys are zigging, other guys are zagging, and the lineup is, merging together and picking people up. And last thing, Paulie, before I pass the hot J to you.
You're good.
Is that Kapler himself said that what's special about this group is that it is a very selfless – he used the word selfless bunch, and that – literally, he took out Talkman. By the way, we haven't talked any Talkman at all. We got to talk Talkman.
Well, and I said on the air, too, I think the song we do for him should be, just Talk Talk by Talk Talk.
Nice, dude. Nice.
Yeah. Well, what about we do some Four Seasons? Talkman's the man. You know, like, walk like the man, talk.
Shannon, can you get a little more into present day with us, if you could?
Oh, you know what? Why don't you guys shove those mics right... You know, last time I'm not going to say it this time. I don't want to have to edit.
But I think it was Monday, as we record this Thursday. Monday, the Giants beat the Rangers, and Talkman was going to hit.
Yeah.
But Kapler replaced him with Dubon, and Dubon got a super clutch base hit after a great at bat. And they asked Kapler about that after the game, and Kapler's like, Talkman put his helmet and bat down and went and cheered on Dubon and was stoked for Dubon for getting the hit, because that's the attitude of this team is we pick each other up. And I don't know, that starts from the top and works its way down, and we got to give Kapler credit, man, and that coaching staff and Farhan, and I don't know. It's just, I think Belt said also earlier this week that there's a vibe on this team that reminds him of the 2012 team, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So pretty cool stuff happening at the corner of third and King.
You're so right, Tony. You really hit all the key stuff there. But I want to ask a question for both of you guys about our Giants. And I'm thrilled. I really enjoy watching this team. I look forward to watching their games. And now, you guys, I'm at the place where I'm not kidding. I expect them to win. Like, or wrong.
Yeah.
When I tune in now, like,
right,
like,
or wrong.
No, because it's not realistic to think they're going to win all the time. But I got to tell you, when I turn the games on now, I'm like, all right, this is going to be a win. I'm waiting for my win. Mm-hmm. Here's my question for you guys. Tony, you talked about the inevitable slumps and peaks of any given baseball season. So I've been wondering in the back of my mind if there is any danger, or have you guys thought about – like, will the other shoe drop, or do you expect this shoe to drop? Like, how long can this last? Are they playing over their heads, or is this who they are and they're going to be fighting it out for the division all year long? Like, how do you guys view this team? I know it's early, but I have thought that. Is the other shoe going to drop? Shannon, go ahead.
I think because some of these guys have the history of having pretty good ERAs, you know, Discofani has done it. Wood has done it. Maybe the only guy who hasn't really put together a full season, except for maybe last year, was Gausman. But Gausman's got the stuff. Webb is young, but I think he's shown a lot of potential.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, Farhan's been pretty smart. He did, you know, there's a lot of guys on contract years. They've got a lot of incentive to keep this up. So I think all these guys have track records showing they have done it. And I think, you know, money keeps them pretty incentivized.
No question. I also think that, yes, Paulie, the shoe will drop. But I think this goes back to the selfless nature of the team, where like the whole team, I don't think is going to plummet. I think that when, like, look at Yaz, started out cold, he's heating up. If, I don't know if you've noticed, but he's
big time. Yeah.
Right. And he's heating up when other guys might cool off. And Cueto is, you know, that Cueto, his last start is not going to be a sign of what he's going to do down the road. I think we can rely on Cueto being better than his last start, but it's going to ebb and flow and it's going to be so exciting, man. I think, I think Kipe said earlier this week that they have a boatload of games against the Dodgers coming up, and that's going to be super exciting. Because,
right,
I mean, it's two really good baseball teams. One that is just predicted to literally be one of the best teams ever in the history of baseball. You know, with your guy Chris Russo, Paulie, but against a team that nobody saw or was willing to give this kind of prediction for. So I don't know. It's going to be very exciting. And I like the fans in the park are making a difference. Kapler's making a difference. And I think that IFWT in Farhan We Trust, which is just bring back those letters.
IFWT. Hey guys, good time right there to ponder the meaning of IFWT. Be a nice tattoo, by the way. Right? Yeah,
just, is there a church of Farhan where IFWT with the, I don't know.
Well, I don't know about that, but how about if we go over to the Shannon, if I can loosen up your delicate sensibilities and ask if you'd be willing to join me out at Baker Beach in the nude portion of the beach. Well, the far right towards Golden Gate Bridge, as you know, would be the nude section.
Yeah.
Tony, to incorporate your concepts into some free advertising, Shannon, would you be willing to take a Sharpie? And I'll do it for you if you need some help. I give you an IF on your left butt cheek and what would the two last letters? It's Farhan. WT on your right buttock. We go take a lover's walk up and down Baker Beach and let the masses see how severe our trust is in Farhan, that we're blazing naked cheeks just to get the message out there. Shannon, are you willing to join me?
I think I'm willing to do it. If I get a good bonus, as you know, some good coupons, you know, maybe it's worth it for me.
What if I join you with a KN on my left cheek and a BR on my right cheek?
Awesome.
And dude, again, Shannon, it just so we don't like scare people, we could keep our t-shirts on and just go bottomless if you want. Just bottomless.
If I have an IFWT, right, and you have a KN and a BR, I just want Tony to have a TO and an NY on his butt cheek.
No doubt.
Just like his name, like for no reason.
Or how about like creative on one cheek and Tony on the other? And if I could, could I get Smiling Sammy Houston from the freaking media department to film the whole thing? Dude, a day at the beach with Paulie's podcast.
Yeah, totally. A day at the beach.
Just a stroll down the shoreline.
A podcast stroll, like gentlemen. Hey, guys, let's
sign things for people. We'll bring Sharpies.
Well, I was going to say, what a great conversation starter. Hey, do you guys work at KBR? Yeah, see, it says right here. You know. Anyway, guys, listen, we'll take a quick break. We got to clean this up. We got Steve Moskowitz coming in. We got Shannon's musical assignment, too, to get to. And, guys, after Steve, I'd like to talk some Warrior Hoop. So,
yes,
don't go anywhere. NBA playoffs right around the corner. Giants are on fire. Niner schedule is out, and big Steve Moskowitz is on deck. We return next. KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader. Okay, everybody, we are back on the Polymac podcast. Thank you for tuning in. As always, it is May 13th as we record this. And whether you're listening on KMBR 680, 104.5, perhaps you're streaming us at KMBR.com, you know that each week we always welcome in our good friend and podcast sponsor, Steve Moskowitz, tax attorney right here in San Francisco. Steve's been in business well over 30 years. I've had a great relationship with Steve for over 10 years, and we welcome him back as we tackle different tax issues that might be able to help some of our friends in the audience. And Steve, welcome back. Hopefully you're doing well. You know, I know, if I'm not mistaken, Steve, I know the people that filed for extensions this year, isn't that deadline right around the corner?
May 17th this year.
May.
And remember, the extension of time to file, not an extension of time to pay. So if you owe some money, you're supposed to pay it. If you don't have the money, then we need to make a deal to make monthly payments, keep you out of trouble.
I always get the feeling, Steve, sometimes, but it's based on the people that I talk to that listen to the podcast and they hear you, and then they'll throw casual tax questions at me, and I'll say, listen, I'm not suited to answer. I can pass it along to Steve. But what would you say to somebody, Steve, that had a hard time during the pandemic, perhaps lost their job, will still be receiving their tax forms from the IRS, obviously. But like you said, what if they don't have the money to pay, but they also filed for an extension just to try to buy some time? And now that the extension is about to expire for filing, I guess the question is, what do people do that have already had the extension but still can't pay?
No problem. We just go ahead, go to the IRS, and work out a deal, whether that deal is to make monthly payments, whether it's to ask for an offer and compromise. Offer and compromise is where you offer the government part and they forgive the rest. So suppose you have this situation, just like you said, guy lost his job, lost his business.
Yeah.
And let's make it even worse. He had to tap out his 401k.
Ooh.
Now he's taking a distribution and he owes a bunch of taxes he can't pay. Now what does he do? Well, we go to the government and work out a deal. For example, offer and compromise would be sweet, where we say, look, we just pay you part and the government will forgive the rest. And even that you can pay in monthly installments if you otherwise qualify. If not, we do regular monthly payments. If not, there's something called a hardship deferral. Hardship deferral is leave me alone until I get back on my feet, get my new job, start a new business. Or maybe I still have the business, but you know, it's as revenue's way down. When revenue comes back, I'll talk to you then. There's all types of deals, not to mention asking for the penalties to be forgiven. So the bottom line is, it's not, you see, most people, when they think about taxes, they think about a form and a box and a yes or no. It's not a light switch. It's not a box, yes or no. Life doesn't confine itself to a box on a form. And the bottom line is, you know, the IRS are people too. You go over there, talk there, plead your case. And a lot of times, you know, you'll get a person on the other side that understands and make a good deal with you. But suppose you get somebody, and again, most of them are fine, but like any large group, you have some real good ones, some real bad ones, and most are in between just doing their job. But suppose you have somebody that's being unreasonable with you. Well, now what do? That person's not judge, jury, and executioner. You go right over his or her head and you talk to somebody else and you keep moving up the chain until you get somebody that's reasonable, and then you make a reasonable deal. This is what it's all about, being reasonable with each other. If you don't have the money right now, you don't have it. And it doesn't mean that you're destitute, because yeah, you know, maybe you have some money to go ahead and pay the rent. Maybe you have some money to feed the kids, but you know, this is your life. So we have to work out something that works for everybody.
See, this is why we like talking to Steve on the podcast, because the questions and topics that make us all very uncomfortable and very nervous, Steve just kind of calms your nerves down because he's got the information that can help us. So this is just another example. And Steve, I wanted to follow up on something you said regarding hardship deferrals. I wonder, is there one set universal kind of window of time that they'll give you, or does it vary depending on your circumstances?
It varies depending on your facts and circumstances, like almost everything else.
Right. So in other words, if they, no matter how extreme your situation is, and if, because I think, Steve, people get scared. People are afraid. Then they kind of go into the corner and they don't know how to fight their way out. So if there's an extreme case, the IRS, perhaps based on what you just said, they could give you a reasonable amount of time to get back up on your feet.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, again, it's not a cut and dried, you know, light switch on or off.
Right.
It depends. And sometimes these things are done in multiples. Suppose, for example, you say, look, you know, you lost a job. Well, it'd be nice to say, okay, look, I'll give you a call when I have a job. And if the agent agreed to that, wonderful. But suppose he doesn't. Suppose the agent says, okay, you know, I'll give you 2 months to find a job. Well, 2 months, you check back, you say, hi, I'm working at the XYZ company and I can afford to pay you X a month. Work it out. Or the 2 months come by and you say, you know what? I'm still pounding the pavement. I haven't found a job yet. And the agent probably says, okay, give me a call another 2 months.
Right. Well,
so it depends on the agent. They have a lot of discretion.
Okay. Well, again, just I think the point here is you are in good hands with any tax challenge or tax problem or tax issue or just a simple question that you might have. As you can hear, Steve would be the ideal person to talk to. So go ahead and give him a call. If you're listening in and you feel like you want to start a dialogue with Steve, call him at 1-888-TAX-DEAL. That's 1-888-TAX-DEAL. You can also visit Steve online at MoskowitzLLP.com for some preliminary information and availability, things of that nature. Steve, listen, bud, we love having you on. Great talking to you. Stay healthy, stay happy, and we will circle back and talk to you next week on the podcast.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. And the podcast will return next on KBR 680 and 104.5, the sports leader. All right, everybody, we're back on the podcast. Thank you, Steve Moskowitz. As we go into the home stretch of this Polymac podcast, Tony, are my levels okay? A thumb up will do. Thank you. Okay, so it is May 13th. Creative Tony to my left, Shannon Kaler with his prominent tight T-shirt to my right.
And hello, Paul. It's
an extremely tight shirt, let's be honest. And I'm wondering why. I was talking to my mom about that the other day, as a matter of fact. I was trying to make my mom laugh. She had a doctor visit, and I was saying, you know, Mom, it's funny that kids, boys today, boys, millennial boys, if you will, and some Gen Zers. Are you a Gen Z or a millennial? First off, let's clarify.
I think I'm a millennial.
I think you are too. Tony, yeah. I look at Shannon. I think he's like the poster boy for millennials, you know.
Yeah.
But I was telling my mom about guys like Shannon, how and nothing to do with your personality. It's your appearance that concerns me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Where it's really just about the tightness of the pants. That's extreme. I would say it's a little extreme.
You know, that's fading out, Paul. It's not cool anymore. I might be loosening up pretty soon.
Is that why you've gone to the tighter T-shirt? You're swapping one for the other?
You know, it's not really that tight, Paul. I think what you're doing is you're looking for flaws.
No,
you're looking and you're looking for things to criticize, which I mean, I thought we were friends, but
I'm not looking to criticize. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, before we go to move on to Steph Curry and the Dubs and Draymond being on the hunt, being the hunter.
Die Hard the Hunter, Tony.
Die Hard the Hunter. Love it. Love it. What's never gone out of style, at least in my world, and I predict will make a strong resurgence, are bell bottoms. Bring them back. They never went out in my mind. And I predict, as I'm one to predict a lot of fashion, trends here on the podcast, that bell bottoms will come back in a mighty way.
Well, I hope you're right. I think bell bottoms are pretty cool. Shout out Chris Robinson of the Black Crows.
Yes.
I believe he'll throw on a pair. He's not afraid. Shannon, you, I guess, are at the age where you kind of missed out on the whole baggy pants phenomenon.
No, I caught it in middle school. I had it. But I also wore husky pants because I was a chunky child.
Oh, is that right? Oh, I need to see some pictures.
I got my husky pants from Mervyn's. But nice. Let's move on, Paul.
Can I tell you a funny story about Mervyn's real quick?
Mervyn's. Go ahead.
True story. Tony, I don't even know if I ever told you this. The true story. When I first moved back to San Francisco, in 1996, before I started working for KBR in 97, Tony, I had a freelance writing job with Mervyn's. I'm not kidding you.
Nice.
No, it was not nice at all. So I first of all, I was living in San Francisco and I had to drive down to like your area and cross that bridge down there. What's the first town when you cross from the peninsula, your side, San Carlos?
San Mateo.
No, when you cross that bridge to the other side, what's the first town over there?
Oh, you cross the San Mateo Bridge, you mean?
Yes, going to the East Bay.
I believe it's Hayward, Paul.
That's right. Okay, so Hayward was where the office was. So I had this bad commute, and then I had to sit there and write about, like, the freaking men's, you know, corduroy pants and stuff. And Shannon, I did the job for maybe 5 or 6 days. They hired me for, like, a couple of weeks freelancing. I was so unhappy there. I was sat there at my dad. It's the only time in my life I've ever done this. I got up at lunch and walked out and never came back.
Oh my God.
No explanations.
No, nothing.
I just left. I said, I'm out. I can't do it.
That is hilarious.
Mervin's.
Nicely done, Paul. Yeah. Nicely Mervin's. Done. Nicely done, just like the Warriors beating Utah Jazz and Phoenix Suns this past week as we record this Thursday. Nicely done. I got to say, I don't think anybody would wants to play the Warriors right now. Anybody, after seeing what they did to Utah and Phoenix. And to quote Draymond Green, they were the hunted, or to paraphrase, they were the hunted at one point. Now they're the hunters again. And he says, I love to hunt. Hunting's fun. So I don't know. I don't know how far they'll go. We'll see. But I don't think anybody wants to play the Dubs right now.
Paul, do you think that other teams are seeing what Tony is saying and are they afraid, or are they going to remember when the Warriors have like totally lost their cool and lost by like 40 or 50 or 60 this year?
I think Tony's right. I think that there are signs that there are teams are already nervous out there. Like Tony just said, I think the Warriors sent Phoenix and Utah a pretty loud message in these last two games, which is, hey man, you know, forget about everything that's behind us. We're looking ahead. Warriors are a very dangerous team. Whoops, excuse me, in my opinion.
To quote Bobby Knight, I'm not here to F around this week.
No.
You may be, but I'm not.
I like how he's courteous enough to throw that in. Now, you guys might be, but I'm not.
Yeah. But this is, like, this last week was maybe one of the only times that Steph was not on and the other guys picked him up. I mean, that hasn't happened that often.
Wiggins against Utah, I think, was good for 28 points. Draymond Green had the triple-double. So guys are chipping in. Shannon, you're right. And, you know, playoff Draymond Green is not like January playoff Draymond Green.
Right.
Draymond comes to life this time of year. So watch out. Whether you are the Lakers with their injury problems, an unproven Phoenix team, let's be honest, after Chris Paul, they don't have – I mean, I'm not afraid of Phoenix. Utah is a team that concerns me, actually. I think that
– Totally.
They might be the best team in the West, even though they're not the number one seed, or maybe they are today. I'm not sure.
I agree. I think Utah is a dangerous team.
Yeah.
Paul, I have one question before we get to the musical assignment.
Okay.
Are you still digging Andrew Wiggins?
I'm taking what he's given, Tony. Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Shannon, musical assignment, go.
Oh, but what about Toscano Anderson? I want to say way to go, Juan.
Hey, way to go, man. Way to go. Way to go.
Hey, way to go, man. Thanks so much for joining the team for two more years. You know what, Tony? I'm not going to cuss today, but you're on my list, pal.
Okay. I like how Tony threw in a wee. Wee.
Yeah. Woohoo. Okay. So,
well, who says way to go anymore, dude? I mean, look.
He's my pal. Juan's my
Shannon,
pal.
When you go to a Warrior playoff game, hopefully soon, please bring a sign that just says, way to go.
Y'all right, ass. Okay, I said it. God.
Holding his sign, dude.
You know what? Oh, I was about to cuss you out, but your daughter just arrived right behind
yes,
you.
Yes, she did. Don't you dare.
You saved you. Here's
we
the deal.
Go.
The musical assignment, I'm going to steer us back like Tony on the other side of the freeway, back to Gerald Dempsey Posey. He's doing so well. He's playing so well. He is taking some time off. He's playing, you know, 2 out of 3 days, but that's fine. He's fabulous. I was just thinking, you know, he's kind of got a stage name. Buster is a great stage name. So we're going to pick artists who have awesome stage names or kind of funny real names, you know?
Okay. So Shannon, I'm taking it right out of the gates. I'm ready. Okay. I'm ready to go. I'm going with a guy that I don't know if either of you guys have seen live, but I highly recommend it. If you haven't, I highly recommend. He wears a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket on his head. His name is Buckethead. I'm going to take Buckethead. The guy performs with nunchucks at his shows. The guy brings a huge bag of toys and hands out toys to people in the front rows of his shows. And I'm going to pick the song Megaliths by Buckethead.
Ooh, nice.
Shannon, I'd like to jump in now and save the best for last, and that would be you. Tony, a man, I was talking about this guy on the radio today. He was born in San Jose. And his birth name was Frank Ferrano. Hey, Paisan, how you doing? Shout out Frank Ferrano.
Yes.
Paisan, he's eating pizzas. He's looking for a Sicilian heritage. Next thing you know, he turns around, renames himself Nikki Six.
Dude.
Two Ks, nice. Two Xs.
Yes.
You guys know the resume. I've seen, it's a band I saw probably five or six times in the 80s. Tony, let's go as a tribute to Timmy Ryan, one of my favorite stage names of all time. I'm going to drop the needle on Nikki Six and Motley Crue and Red Hot.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah.
Do that nice. Top. We are Red Hot.
Hey, by the way. Red Hot. Double K, double X, go Kaler.
Okay. I'm going to go way back because the foundation of any great music is blues. And, you know, out of that is jazz and all the business. You know the lineage. I'm going to go back to one of our favorite blues guys, or probably like maybe the guy who had the huge hit Smokestack Lightning. I'm going to go with Howlin' Wolf, or nice. Better known as to his friends, Chester Arthur Burnett.
Yeah.
Chester.
Nice. I would never have known Chester. His real name. Never would have known his real name. Paulie, when you go to Jazz Fest in the fall, you need to get to the Howlin' Wolf Music Club. And it doesn't matter who's playing. Just go. Just walk there. Just show up. You'll be entertained. You'll have a wonderful time.
You won't have to twist my arm. I'll be there. Tony, great job. Shannon, great job. I'm pressed for time. Sorry, I got to go quickly today. And goodbye, Olivia. We'll see you soon, too. Cheers, y'all. See you in the Jockcast. Everybody be cool in the Jockcast community. I'll see you next week.
Peace.